time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Obey the rules and pay your taxes.
And Chad P.
Are you familiar with Bare Naked Ladies?
Very much.
Not
well,
your
you're
wife, but the group.
Underwritten by Home Theater, etc. Class is in.
Sunday afternoon, right in the middle dead center of Labor Day. Hi, everybody. This is Rock School on KSLU. My name is Joe Burns. I am a professor in the communication department, Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting my to immediate right is...
Chad P.
Hey, Chad. Chad's a former student, and he is one who...
Must learn. And also a non... Professor in the communication department.
Yeah, you're going to get there, though.
I will.
You're going to get there sooner or later.
Because I'm going to learn.
You're going to be on the big side of the desk,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be able to give the tests, and then all night you'll just sort of rub your hands together and twiddle your mustaches. What I have done.
I always knew you did that.
To these students. Are you familiar with the Sunset Strip?
Heard of it, yes.
California Sunset Strip. These are places like the Whiskey A Go-Go,
mm-hmm.
Gazzari's, the Rainbow Club, the Roxy.
Yeah.
I've decided... to take two shows, this
okay.
is the first of two shows, and I'm going to take us on a trip down the Sunset Strip.
Oh, wonderful.
Who started at the Roxy? Who started at the Gazzari's? Who went to the Rainbow Club? All of the bands out of the 1980 hair metal, all of that stuff came from the Sunset Strip.
Nice. Who needs the E! True Hollywood Story when you got Rock School?
Actual music here, folks. So we begin with the actual Sunset Strip. I have three songs that kind of embody the Sunset Strip. Now, the Sunset Strip is actually only about a two and a half mile stretch
okay.
of Sunset Boulevard.
All right.
Sunset Boulevard named because if you just completely kept driving on it,
driving
you would run.
Sunset.
Right. You'd ride right into the Pacific Ocean, and mm-hmm. at certain times you look right at the sunset.
So I'm guessing it goes west.
It does. Or you could turn around and go east, but that would really screw up the whole sunset thing.
Yep.
The Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood is also known as Guitar Row.
Okay.
It's also known as Music Row
mm-hmm.
because through the 50s, I mean, starting with Dean Martin and going through the 70s and the 60s with The Doors and Led Zeppelin and The Who, going through the 80s with Warrant and Quiet Riot and
mm-hmm.
Guns N' Roses, and even today, Oasis and all of these different bands, they started in this little tiny grouping of clubs in the Sunset Strip.
Excellent.
And we begin with the Hyatt in West Hollywood, often known as the Riot House. The Riot House was where major acts would come, and that's where the, you know, the tables went out the window,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, taped fish to the ceiling.
Okay.
That's a true one. Van Halen did that.
Taped fish?
They would take fish and tape them to the ceiling so that when the roadies and such came back from the gig,
mm-hmm.
their entire room would smell like fish.
That's
as a matter
nice.
Of fact, it's so well known as a place of debauchery that two movies were filmed there. The first one, Almost Famous,
mm-hmm.
and the second one is this one. Hear the drums begin. Ladies and gentlemen, all hail Spinal Tap!
Yes!
This is Big Bottom on Rock School.
Please go to 11.
I think the problem was that we had a Stonehenge monument on stage that was in peril of being stepped on by a dwarf. So, Spinal Tap, actually filmed at the Riot House, the Hyatt West Hollywood. How many of you, well, you're the only one in the room, how
yeah.
many of you out there are familiar with the song For What It's Worth?
Me.
Now, not a lot of people know it by its title. They probably know it by Stop. Children, what's that sound?
Everybody look what's going down.
Right. Now, most people think that, just from hearing it, they think it is a Vietnam War protest song. It's by Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah, because it's on the Forrest Gump soundtrack during the Vietnam section
correct,
of the movie.
Correct. But that is not why it was written.
Oh.
In 1965, there were these things called the Watts riots in California, Watts, California,
and
the Watts, I mean, burnt the city to the ground.
Mm.
And after that, the word riots kept being attached to a lot of different uprisings. They never really got to the point of the Watts riots in the 60s and 70s, but there was something called, around 1967, 69, something called the hippie riots.
Mm-hmm.
And this occurred on the Sunset Strip. Apparently, a series of curfews, as something that happened with the Watts riots, a series of curfews were put into place. And those who were the hippies, the free love movement, the flowers in your hair type people, didn't want to follow the curfews. And they began to not clash with police, but yelling and, you know, how dare you this. And
now when you say curfew, you just mean, okay, you have to be at home.
The bars close, go away.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Gotcha.
I don't know if the curfews went all the way to get off the street completely.
Mm-hmm.
But understand, a city had just been burnt to the ground.
Right.
And so there could have been some overreacting. Stephen Stills wrote the song For What It's Worth. It's not against the Vietnam War. He is saying to the flower children at that time, stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going around. He's basically saying to them, calm down. We don't need another Watts riot.
Makes perfect sense.
That's where the song came from. This is Stephen Stills, Buffalo Springfield, as we talk about the Sunset Strip, For What It's Worth, on Rock School.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
A warning to the flower children.
Yeah, man.
During the afterwards of the Watts riots, also known as the hippie riots, there's a book out there called The Hippie Riots,
mm-hmm.
and it explains the whole thing. That's Stephen Stills, Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth.
So it's already understood that the song was about the Vietnam War, which it's not, but then
right.
the fact that, like I say, they added it into that section of Forrest Gump,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much what I think of anytime I hear those first few riffs of this song. I
sure.
immediately go to Forrest Gump.
Well, it's easy.
And Vietnam.
It's very easy to take any protest song that doesn't specifically state this is what I'm protesting and move it to whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can, in fact, there are many times where protest songs are recycled. And it was a protest song for this war, and we've recycled it for this war.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have an entire show set up on protest songs.
Ah.
It's sitting in a can somewhere, and I'm normally about 10 shows ahead here, and I'm going to come back and do that, and I'll talk about the recycling of protest songs.
Nice.
We are on the Sunset Strip. We're not to any of the clubs yet. We have one more before we get to the clubs. Do you are you familiar with Richard Pryor's album Richard Pryor on the Sunset Strip?
Oh wow.
Richard Pryor live at the Palladium.
I have to listen to it by myself.
Yes, you do. The Palladium is located at 6215 Sunset Boulevard, right there on the edge of what would be called the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, MapQuest it and see how far it takes.
Many people have seen the inside of the Palladium, but they don't know it.
Okay.
When the Blues Brothers were trying to make their money to pay off Ray Charles for the instruments they took, and right before they made the statement that it's 150 miles to Chicago, we got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark and we're wearing sunglasses, they played a concert on a stage. That stage was called the Palace Hotel Ballroom. In reality, that was the Hollywood Palladium that you saw in the movie,
hey.
The Blues Brothers. And this is the song they started with. Blues Brothers, Rock School. Donald Duck Dunn playing the bass on that one. Yeah, the Hollywood Palladium. Okay, time to talk about the Sunset Strip here on Rock School, brought to you by Home Theater, etc.
Yep.
We now go to the names you've probably heard of.
Okay.
There are two, well, there's about six different clubs, but there are two. If you said to somebody, okay, name a club on the Sunset Strip, they could probably come up with two of them. This is the big one, the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Whiskey A Go-Go, yep.
The Whiskey A Go-Go has been the starting point for so many bands that you will be able to name, and so many songs that you'll be able to be able to say, wow, I've heard that before. First of all, where did it come from? Why is it called the Whiskey A Go-Go? The Whiskey A Go-Go was started as an American discotheque. The concept of a place that only plays records is a French concept, discotheque.
Ah.
So the Whiskey A Go-Go was the first American discotheque. And when people would come in and dance, they basically took some of the French things and had them there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of go-go girls, like go-go dancers?
Well, yeah.
Did you know they used to be suspended in cages above the dancers?
That's where they got that from?
Go-go, if you say the Whiskey A Go-Go, what you are actually saying, a go-go in France means, or in French means, sort of in abundance, a lot. So if you say a go-go, you're saying, I got a bunch of it. So when you're saying the Whiskey A Go-Go, you're basically saying the whiskey to the max, the discotheque, the greatest discotheque, the most wonderful discotheque.
I was going to think a bunch of whiskey.
No, well, I'm sure there was a lot of that too, but it started as a place where only records were being spun, and they were being spun by good-looking women disc jockeys in cages.
Why not?
Hanging above the audience.
I'm all for it.
They were also known for wearing these very high boots, which came to
go-go
be known
boots.
As go-go boots.
My father's
you
absolute favorite footwear.
Is that true, a go-go boot?
I swear to you.
The very first act that started to play live at the Whiskey A Go-Go was Johnny Rivers, who had Secret Agent Man and all of that. You know where he's from? Baton Rouge.
You're kidding.
Louisiana. I kid you not. The Byrds became the second band that started to become what they called a house band, the band that could be seen there more and more. As we talk more about these places, the concept of house band is going to become more and more important.
Okay.
The Byrds used to come there and test out their new songs before they'd record them. And this is one most people in the world of the Byrds, if you don't know them, you probably know this one. This is called 8 Miles High.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy that plays the guitar in the Byrds called Roger McGuinn. You kind of know him because he plays this jingly jangly 12-string Rickenbacker guitar that's tuned down a little bit, so the strings really shake and jingle and jangle. And he wrote this song called 8 Miles High because during the band's first European tour, the only way to get to Europe at that time of any expedience was to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people listen to it and they say, oh, it's got to be about getting high and doing drugs and all of that, right?
It doesn't.
No, he's scared of flying. That's where it came from. Listen to the lyrics. 8 miles high and when I touch down. We're going to do a few songs from the people that got their start at the Whiskey A Go-Go as the Sunset Strip continues on Rock School. Roger McGuinn, the Byrds, 8 Miles High. From the Whiskey A Go-Go, a lot of bands, especially bands from overseas, began to get their start. And in fact, many major European bands did their first concerts in the United States at the Whiskey A Go-Go because they were taken to the Whiskey by the mayor of the Sunset Strip. His name is Rodney Bingenheimer. You ever heard of him?
Bingenheimer. Never heard that name.
You're dealing with radio. You're dealing with disc jockeys. Rodney Bingenheimer is probably somebody you should know. Rodney Bingenheimer started as a 16-year-old punk on the streets in the 1960s on the Sunset Strip. He got his first real job as a double for Davy Jones in the movie The Monk, or the television show The Monkees.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to say it. This little twerpy guy became this go-between for all of these bands. He was the first person to begin to play these unsigned bands on the air. He got picked up at a radio station called WROQ, actually KROQ, pardon me, it's over on the West Coast. And he has a show still to this day called Rodney on the Rock. And Rodney was the first to play Blondie, David Bowie, The Who, and all of these bands that were at the time serious underground bands, but nobody knew anything about them.
So he was just introducing them into the mainstream.
Exactly, just that. As a matter of fact, he was the first to play Oasis in the United States.
Now, was that his call?
Yes. Or,
okay.
Yes.
That was his decision. They didn't tell him, okay, find us some new artists and feature them. That was just purely him.
No, he had his, it was all him.
Okay.
The story is in a wonderful documentary. It's about an hour and a half. It's called The Mayor of the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
Rodney Bingenheimer, he is this little twerp.
Why are you hating?
But I'm not hating on the guy. It's just that you expect, you know, the person to be the go-between between all of these massive rock groups to be this, I don't know, statuesque thing. You don't expect it to be this 4'7",
112 pounds
right,
soaking wet,
Beatles haircut guy. You just don't expect it. Once you get to know him and once you learn him, Bingenheimer, you just want to hang out with the guy. You just want to be amazed by him. One of the groups that Rodney began to break inside of the United States, a British group, is called Roxy Music. You ever heard of it?
Yes, Roxy Music.
Their albums are fun to look at because it's always women in very scantily put together lingerie. Anybody know who the lead singer of Roxy Music was?
You lost me at scantily lingerie.
The lead singer is Brian Ferry, as in the lady in red.
Lady in red
is dancing with me.
Okay,
well,
cool.
That's not the kind of stuff they were doing when they first came here, and when Rodney on the Rock began to play them on the radio, they were doing this kind of stuff. This is Roxy Music, and love is the drug I be thinking of. Rock School. To the United States, played at the Whiskey A Go Go first by Rodney on the Rock. You know, the Beatles, they never played the Whiskey A Go Go.
Really?
But on their first trip to the United States, they were invited to the Whiskey A Go Go by Jane Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
She took them down to the A Go Go. The problem was, you would think that George Harrison would be the one that would be never moved to violence.
Yeah.
He actually was the one that threw punches and such first. When they got sort of ambushed by the press, he threw his drink at a photographer, missed, and hit actress Mamie Van Doren in the face.
Yeah, that's just not good.
That's just not nice.
That's not good.
We are at the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, as we go up and down the Sunset Strip on two shows of Rock School. This is one of two. We are brought to you by the good people at Home Theater, etc.
Yeah.
Mr. Chad P. will tell us more about those wonderful sponsors of this here radio program.
I will. Located in lovely downtown Hammond on the corner of Morris and Mooney, where 190 takes a split. One side goes one way and the other side comes back up the other way. But there it is, Home Theater, etc. Proud sponsor of 90.9 KSLU Rock School. Their phone number is 985-340-7777. If you are tired of paying expensive prices for movie tickets, a home theater is what I suggest.
And besides, they don't stop the movie for you if you have to hit the restroom or have a three-year-old like I do that thinks it's fun to run up and down the stairs and run to the bathroom and you miss half of the movie.
That's what you get for having a second story on your house.
You can actually, bing, stop the movie, and do what you need to.
That stuff
We got a website. We got an email address. What are we doing? Where do we go? How do I get here?
Let's see. We can do the website is now up and running. Go to the KSLU homepage, kslu.org, and then to the right-hand side, very appropriately, there is a button in the shape of a blackboard. It says Rock School.
Check it out.
We have archived shows. We've got bios on the good doctor and myself. We've got some pictures. I believe there's one of you on there wearing a big red bow tie.
Uh-huh. I'm a beautiful man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, orange hair and big feet and an ooga horn.
All that stuff.
Let's find out if I'm smarter than I think I am.
I got you last week.
Who. Yes, you did. We're going to do the Who, ladies and gentlemen. Why the Who? Because many British performers started their American careers at the Whiskey A Go-Go, including the Kinks, Cream, Zeppelin, Roxy Music, Oasis, and The Who. Their album at the time was The Who Sings My Generation.
Yeah.
So that's what they played. So tell me, what's the stump of The Who? I hate this. This scares me.
Why?
Well, because The Who is a monstrous group. And I probably, the stuff I know about The Who is voluminous, but I probably only know about half of what there is to know.
Hey, you did this. You know, you narrowed the search field for me.
All right, shoot.
Upon doing my research for The Who, I saw so many people that have played with them throughout the years.
Oh, no.
Two people actually stuck out to me, and those are the two people that are more known for their nicknames rather than their regular name.
Okay.
One guy's name is John Bundrick. And the other one's name is Steve Bolton. Do you know either nickname for those men? I'll accept either one.
John, and they played with The Who?
Yeah, John Bundrick played from 1985. He did drums from 1985 until now. And in 1989, Steve Bolton jumped on playing rhythm guitar for a little while. But both of them have...
That's not Keith Moon's real name, is it?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
Oh.
You don't know this?
No.
Oh, I'm on a roll.
Give me one of them.
John's nickname is Rabbit.
Oh, he played on the Join Together. Okay, what's the other one?
Bolts. Steve Bolton.
Oh,
in fact, I actually had to look up what their first names were because they were referred to as Rabbit Bundrick and Bolts Bolton.
Right. Fudge. You got me two in a row. The next one, you either give me the answer or you make it so easy I have to get it. I can't miss three in a row because I'll be sent back to my own virtual plane. Here's The Who. Feel good, Chad.
It's not that bad.
You may have won this round.
Quit shaking your fists like Skeletor.
But I shall take the thing. It's just The Who joined together with the band. There's The Who. They played for the first time at the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Does that song feature Rabbit?
No, it did not, as a matter of fact.
Bolts?
Nor Bolts. No, neither of them are on that.
Well, how would you know?
Joined together with the band. I got to be honest with you. I knew Rabbit. I didn't know the Bolts. I didn't know that. I knew the name Rabbit. Could not have come up with it to save my life.
That wraps
up the Whiskey A Go-Go. I got a few more people that have played there, but it's time to move along.
On the Sunset Strip, how far have we... 2.5 miles, right?
2.5 mile system.
How far have we traveled if we're at the Whiskey A Go-Go? How far down?
We're actually not doing it in the order of sort of chronological on the street.
Oh, okay.
We're doing it in order of you might have known these bands and sort of I'm doing the ones that have the most name recognition up front.
Okay, I thought we started at mile marker one and we were going a few feet down and then another few feet.
I could have actually done that because there are many websites that will actually show you the Sunset Strip and then number them and you can actually map quest each one of them. It seemed kind of silly because I thought most people could say, the Whiskey A Go-Go, I know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard of the places. I got confused. I'm sorry. Here we go.
Here comes number two, Gazaris.
Gazaris.
Gazaris. Gazzari's was opened by Bill Gazzari. It's just down from the Rainbow Bar and Grill and just up from the Roxy Theater, and it was the epicenter of 1980s rock. When you watch the documentary, The Fall of Western Civilization, number one and number two, the movement, the glam rock 1980s go crazy movement, heavy rock and roll, started at Gazzari's.
Okay.
The original house band for Gazzari's was The Doors.
No way.
They really were. The problem was they got fired. I'm going to play The Doors later on in this show. That's why I'm not playing them right now.
Doors got
but
fired?
The Doors got fired after Bill Gazzari heard the section of their song, The End.
Oh.
The Oedipal section at the end where he wants to kill his father and, oh, other things.
That didn't sit too well with old Bill.
For a short while in the 60s, there was no house band at Gazzari's until these punks from Pasadena showed up.
Oh, don't tell me.
A flagrantly good front man, a wonderful drummer, a stunning bass player, and a guitarist who was little more than a gunslinger.
I wonder who this is.
The house band, starting in 1976 at Gazzari's, Van Halen on Rock School.
Doc's favorite band.
Play it. It's almost opium. Diamond Dave, Michael Anthony, Alex Van Halen, Edward Van Halen.
You know
I'm going to need a moment. I'm going to need a moment.
I love Van Halen just as much as the next guy. It is insane how much you love them.
Unless I'm the next guy. The house band for Gazzari's from 1976 through 1978, where Van Halen got signed to Warner Brothers Records under the guise of Ted Templeman. For the longest time, Bill Gazzari, who, by the way, if you see a picture of him, he's always dressed as a, like, 1940s Chicago gangster.
Really?
The fedora, the overtly pinstriped suit. He's really a person in and of himself. Gazzari used to give the money to Van Halen at night.
Yeah.
And they'd always give it to David Lee Roth. He was sort of their business manager at the time.
Right.
And for the longest time, even though Dave corrected him time and time again, Bill Gazzari thought David Lee Roth's first name was Van, as in Van Morrison, because he'd always go, here, Van, here's a little bit of money. Here's something else about Van Halen. I mean, I could just go for hours on that, and I may very well put a show together just on them, just so I can get all the stuff out I know about them.
I'm anticipating it.
The guitar sound there is so heavy, so strong, so raw. How did he get it? Have you ever heard of a Variac?
No.
You know what a Variac is?
That's a guitar term. I don't know.
Well, actually, it's an electrical term. It's this little thing you plug into the wall and then plug a plug into it, and you can take a dial and turn it and get more or less juice out of the wall. So what comes out of the wall? 110? Something like that?
Yes.
Van Halen used to take... He set up his amplifier so that it had bigger fuses in it so the fuses wouldn't blow.
Yeah.
And he took the Variac and turned the amount of electricity coming into the amplifier up from 110 to like 130, 140 coming out of the wall. So the amplifier was literally being electrically strangled when it was being played. That's how that fantastic sound came out.
That's why I beat drums.
That's right. Van Halen was really the first of the glam rockers to come out of Gazzari's, but after that, it's just an absolute MTV who's who of it all. And it looks like we got time for about two more. So we're going to start with Warrant.
Oh, yeah.
Warrant's big song was Cherry Pie. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is CC DeVille, the guy from Poison, he does all the guitar work on it.
Okay.
Believe it or don't. Now, do you know the name of the pretty blonde woman that's in the Cherry Pie video?
No.
Her name is Bobby Brown. Guess where Bobby Brown is from?
Baton Rouge.
She is from Baton Rouge.
Oh, my
she
God,
was,
I just guessed that.
She was from, she is Miss Louisiana, Teen USA, 1987. So yet another reason to be gosh darn happy you live in the state of Louisiana.
Yes,
this
indeed.
This is Warrant Cherry Pie on Rock School. This Baton is Gazzari's, Gazzari's, Gazzari's. I can't go huh well enough to be a lead singer. My huhs just don't sound as cool as
gotta
that.
Gotta practice it.
from the album Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich, that's Warrant and Cherry Pie and Bobby Brown, who, by the way, married the lead singer. Janie Lane, I think, is his name, from Warrant, and had a kid. And it was really interesting to see a picture of Janie Lane in one of those Olin Mills type shots where they're sitting in front of that sort of blue splash background.
With the little Olin Mills thing at the bottom in the corner. Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to bring it up. I thought about it during Van Halen, but it's such a touchy subject for you.
What's that?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but now that you played Cherry Pie. Two songs. No, not stop.
Okay, go ahead.
Two songs that are featured on Guitar Hero, which apparently KSLU has kind of become synonymous with. We're going to do another Guitar Hero challenge in the student union here in a couple of months. And I just know that whenever you came in and you were looking at us playing and you wanted to take a crack at it, you kind of...
I couldn't do
bombed.
It.
Bombed.
I did, because I play guitar, and what I tried to do was equal... The fingering, the fretting on the guitar, and the stupid machine,
because
machines are stupid. It wouldn't let me. Is that the only time you've ever seen the machine literally shut off on a human being?
Look, I played it for the first time and somehow made it through the song, and then when you started playing it, you came out and said, okay, it quit on me.
I can literally play the song.
I never saw it actually stop and say, okay, you're horrible. I'm not continuing.
It really did. I'm telling you what, I'm surprised it didn't give me the middle finger. Are you familiar with the Huey Lewis and the News video, The Heart of Rock and Roll?
Uh-uh.
In the movie, or in the video, if you watch it, they're on stage. They are on stage at Gazzari's on the Sunset Strip. Let me tell you some other bands that came out of Gazzari's. Rat. Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet Riot.
Oh, my word.
Striper. Are you familiar with Striper, the
Striper.
Christian heavy metal band?
They used to
throw Bibles into the crowd and people actually got angry because they hurt.
Well, I'm familiar with Striper.
Poison.
Oh, dude.
Guns N' Roses. Now, we're not playing Poison or Guns N' Roses because Gazzari's is simply a place where they played and obviously got a name for themselves, but where they were actually discovered, the Troubadour, that's where we'll start next week when we continue with this little thing.
So like the birthplace of 1980s big hair...
Gazzari's. It almost all completely came out of that. Here's one more band. We'll finish up with this band. You may have heard for them. Their original name was Christmas. Any idea?
No.
Their original spelling was MOTTLEYKRU.
What?
Motley Crue.
Oh.
Was discovered and signed at Gazzari's.
Ah.
It was also on the Sunset Strip where Neil, the lead singer, crashed his car on the way back from the liquor store, and he was fine. He had a head-on collision with another car. He was fine. The person in the other car was fine, believe it or not, but his passenger, the Hanoi Rocks drummer, and by the way, that's a great group, Hanoi Rocks. Their drummer, Razzie Dingley, was killed.
Vince Neil?
Yeah, Vince Neil. He was charged with a DUI and vehicular manslaughter, was sentenced to 30 days in jail, only spent 18. Now, you think he would have learned his lesson?
Nah.
Maybe, maybe not. Later on, the band would release a box set, and it was entitled Music to Crash Your Car To. If you were a fan of Motley Crue in the 1980s, you remember them wearing red spandex, red leather, teased up hair, outlined lipstick, and you remember their first single.
Thanks for that image.
Shout. Shout. shout at the devil. My name is Joe Burns. This is Rock School. Who are you?
Chad P.
Class is dismissed. This is the crew as we continue down the Sunset Strip. That'll do it. That'll do the show for this time. We start with the Troubadour. Next week, we'll finish our tour as we roll along. Thank you for joining us. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Happy, happy.